RadioMD.com.
It's health delivered daily. Melanie Cole's Health Radio.
An estimated 4.1 million students will transition from middle school to high school in the next few weeks. It's back to school time, people, and parents listening. This becomes the time when your kids are in high school and even middle school. My goodness, it starts early when that peer pressure comes in. I have a 12-year-old and a 15-year-old son, and he is much more susceptible to peer pressure. So we're going to learn today how to keep our kids from folding under that, especially when it comes to alcohol and marijuana. My guest today is Dr. Deborah Gilboa. She's a parenting expert and family physician. Dr. G, welcome to the show. So first question. Do you tell your children about your own past when discussing these things and the dangers of them with your children?
That is such a great question, Melanie, because this is something every parent needs to be prepared for, because I don't know a single parent that hasn't been asked about a sensitive subject. Well, how old were you when you blank? My answer is, I don't give my kids an age. My kids are young enough that I don't want how old I was when I did or didn't do something to figure into their decision process, because it's just extra layer.
Yeah, and that's the thing, because back when I was younger, we started a little younger. It was like kind of in high school, you're doing these things, but it wasn't so dangerous now. There weren't so many drunk driving accidents. There wasn't distracted driving and texting. You know, the pot wasn't so severe and the alcohol, it's just everything scares the crap out of me, Dr. G. So how do we...
I totally understand why that's true.
Oh, my God. And we talk about alcohol in my house. I like to drink wine, and my son sees it as a culture. He sees me not abusing it. It's a glass at night when I'm just hanging around paying bills. But what do we say to them to convince them that if it's their friends telling them, come on, you're not cool, come on, you got to do this with us, what do we say as parents?
So this is a conversation, and I'm so glad you mentioned the ages of your kids, because this is a conversation to have with kids who are 12 and even younger. They are completely familiar with kids doing dangerous or dumb things, and there's safety in numbers. We don't feel like such an idiot if we take a big risk if everyone we know or everyone in a room is willing to do it also. So one of the things I point out to my kids when they're really young, like I have, my kids are 6 up through 13, even the 6-year-old knows that in the lunchroom at school, somebody is likely to say to him, you know, close your eyes and open your mouth. And we said to our kids, if your friend says that to you, do the opposite. Close your mouth and open your eyes. If somebody says to you, hey, do this thing, you'll like it, or try this thing, it's excellent. Close your mouth and open your eyes and look around. What is it? What do you know about it? Why does this person want you to try it so badly? That the more desperately somebody wants you to try something and tries to talk you into it, insult you if you don't, the more uncertain they are about how smart it is to do.
Okay, so Dr. G, right there, that's great advice. Close your mouth, open your eyes, look at it, see if it's something you know commonsensically. But what about those strategies for getting our kids out? I've told my son, if he is at a party and kids are drinking, he does not get in the car, he can call me, no repercussions. If I cannot pick him up, I'll send a cab. No yelling, no, any kind of problems, no questions asked. Just
that's
please trust
strategy.
Me.
And I'll take that a little further, Melanie, and say to you that kids, even as young as 8 or 9, should have a safe word with their parents. Something completely random, like camping. So that if your child texts you, because we think, oh, well, our kid can always text us, Mom, they're drinking, I'm uncomfortable, what do I do? But kids know their texts are not safe. Their friends will grab that phone out of their hands, read those
Absolutely.
Texts out loud to everybody in the room.
So
if they text you out of the blue and say, but I hate camping, and you pick up that text, you don't think, wait, what? You think, oh my
what
God,
a great
that's
idea.
Them pulling the cord on the parachute. They need a ride home right now. So you come in like the wrath of God. You message them back and you say, how can you say that to me? You are grounded. I'm picking you up right now. And you show up.
Oh, they'll never do it again. They'll never trust you again.
No. You're misunderstanding me. That's their call for help. If they text you the word camping, they want you to come in and get them, but they need an excuse to their friends. They have to be able to turn around and say to their friends, oh, I hate my mom. She's picking me up right
absolutely.
Now. I'm grounded. Right? This is their secret code word to you, that they want you to come in, pretend they're in trouble, and snatch them out of that situation.
Oh, I see what you're going. Yeah, so I tell my son to make me the bad guy. Just say I'm the one who said you couldn't go, because I don't know these people and
exactly.
I don't trust them.
They can always throw us under the bus. That's really safe. So if you're,
absolutely.
My 8-year-old is at a sleepover and somebody tries to get him to make prank phone calls and, you know, and he knows that's wrong, or somebody starts to bully somebody and he needs out. If my 13-year-old is at a party and all of a sudden there's a substance and he's, you know, there's alcohol and he's freaked out and he wants out, I want him to be able to pull the emergency ripcord on his parachute without losing face in front of his friends. Because if he's worried about losing face, he might not do it. He might say,
okay, so losing,
oh, it's not so bad.
Well, okay, losing face is a big thing. Now, do we want to try and teach our children to be, and I could talk about this with you, Dr. G, for an hour. This is a huge topic. But do we want to teach our children to use that safe word, to use that hide word, so that their friends don't see that they're really pulling that parachute cord? Or do we want them to be strong enough to say, no, I will not drink. I will not do drugs. No, I don't want to. No, I'm not ready for that right now.
So
which
that goes
one?
To a different strategy. I want my kids to have a whole tool belt of strategy, because
yes.
My son is at the first party of high school with the varsity soccer players. He is probably not going to have enough social credibility or power to say, ah, oh, dude, that's not cool. Don't do that. For then, I just want him to know how to get along without drinking or get out. But if he's at the last party of eighth grade and there's drinking, I do want him to be able to say, dude, that's not cool. So another strategy that our kids need, in addition to a safe word and an emergency ripcord, is the language and the practice and the confidence to say, dude, that's not cool.
Absolutely. And I love your dude, that's not cool. We're big deadheads in my family, but my son still thinks that's all from the 70s, Dr. G. So we have to be careful about the dating ourselves. But yes, it's true. And that's a good tool belt thing to have, and ways to tell your kids that they can be strong and stand up, but they have to assess the social situation so they know they're not committing social suicide by saying, hey, that's not cool. I'm not into that at all.
And they can they can have several tools. They can have the bailing out ripcord we talked about. They can have the power because they've had the practice in conversations with you and in looking around at other situations in which they've talked their friends out of doing something ridiculous that maybe wasn't as dangerous as alcohol. For example, one of my sons was at the science fair and, you know, and another kid was like, hey, let's put this first place ribbon on that kid who did a really lousy job on their science fair presentation and take a picture. Won't that be funny? And he used his social credibility to say, no, man, let's not do that.
So to see, it's all peer pressure. It's about, you just gave me chills, because that is really, it's all peer pressure. It's not just about drugs and alcohol, but it's also about bullying and treating people with respect. And why should one person be picked on and another person not? And so wrap it up for us.
And grabbing the moments where they have, catching them doing good. So I can say to my son, hey, you remember that thing you did? You knew that you had the social credibility in that minute to spend. And you could get the group to make a different decision. I am so impressed with you. A lot of people wouldn't have chosen to do that. Way to go. So now I can
say, so we have to point out the doing good.
Mm-hmm. But you remember how that felt. Could you do the same thing if what everybody was going to go do was drink alcohol out of somebody's parents' liquor cabinet? And
absolutely. And standing up, being that strong. My daughter got an award for standing up to a bully, and she is tiny, tiny little. I'm only 4'10". And she got an award for standing up to someone who was treating somebody badly. And so we have to catch them being good. You have 30 seconds, Dr. G. Wrap it up with your best advice.
I would say
crank it out.
The middle ground. Kids need to know what to say to go along and get along without making a choice that they don't want to make. They know how to say, ah, thanks, but I'm allergic. Or they need to say, oh, I totally would, but my mom smells my breath. They need to have lots of strategies so they can pick the right one for the right moment. And they get those strategies by talking to their parents and knowing what their parents would help them do in any given situation so they can make the right call.
It's all about communication, parents. We have to communicate with our kids so that they understand. This is Melanie Cole. Stay tuned and stay well.